Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening once again to another edition of the SPT podcast. Today we're going to actually talk about Achilles tendinopathy. That's right, one of the biggest banes of every runner's career. We go a little bit deep into how a coach can visually see when an athlete can't cope with the Achilles pain, and also some brilliant treatment ideas as well. So hope you like this one.
Welcome to the Sports Performance Training Podcast with Stu and Aid.
And welcome back to another edition of the SPT Podcast with myself, Stu, and my good colleague,
Aidan.
We're getting there. I think, you know, from now on, I'll just say, when you know us, I'm always going to let you pronounce your own name. Just straightforward.
Oh, okay, yeah. And just then keep, I'll just say, keep nice and cool and just go, yeah, Aidan. Yeah,
just hi. Say it like you were prepared. Actually, so today we're going to continue on what appears to be our theme of the lower leg, right? So as we work our way up the kinetic chain, I think that's probably the best way to think about it, is just work from the ground all the way up. And at the moment, we are only at the Achilles. So I think we'll probably get a little bit higher up as a bit quicker the way things are going, because I hate the knee, so we'll just kind of almost jump past the knee. but we are at the Achilles. So basically, obviously, everyone's aware that the Achilles is one of the biggest injuries reported for, especially for track athletes, but also for, you know, general runners and for sports people, or no matter what sport you're in. Yeah. And I'm sure yourself, you've come across many, many Achilles issues.
Many Achilles issues, yeah, like it's... from top flight all the way down to amateur, like all over the place.
Yeah, it's non-discriminative, isn't it? It can hit you no matter what. And a lot of people will kind of say it's always about high load, or it's always about something else, but there can be other issues as well that come into play. But obviously, it's what we're going to look at from a coaching perspective and from a therapy perspective. So obviously, from a coaching perspective, the longer an athlete is suffering from an Achilles problem, the less they're running. It's as simple as that, right? The less time they're running, their performance is going to come undone. One of the key things about performance is consistency. So if someone has an Achilles issue, that's it. They're not training either 100% or they're not training at all. All right. And I think one of the key things for myself as a coach is to be able to identify visual cues or visual signs of someone struggling with an Achilles issue. And again, yep, if they come and talk to you, it's understanding some of the issues that are going on there. And of course, not always having the correct answer, but throwing them across to a therapist such as yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I wanted to quickly just go into, actually, just from my point of view, before I kick into your side, which is going to be the professional side of this. Obviously, as a coach, it's not necessarily my remit to go in and discuss all about tendon health and so on. But there are some very, very telling signs when someone has Achilles problems. And they are quite easy to spot. And I'll just go through it from acceleration, for instance. So, and this comes from an awful lot of history of Achilles problems myself, from different surfaces and so on, and just general old age, to be honest with you. But basically, so when someone's accelerating, they'll put in a few compensatory patterns that will take the pressure off the Achilles. The Achilles itself won't want to go, you won't want to either dorsiflex too much, so like putting a stretch on the Achilles, and it also won't want to plantar flex because it won't want to put the load onto the Achilles. So that's two of the things you really want to kind of look at with an athlete. When they're accelerating, for instance, what they'll tend to do is obviously to reduce dorsiflexion to get that stretch as you're trying to progress out of the blocks, is they'll put an external rotation on their leg, so that the pressure's now opened up from the hip, so they're getting more ROM from the hip. And what they'll also tend to put their foot a little bit wider than midline. So again, reduces the requirement for dorsiflexion and then going into plantar flexion. You'll be able to see that they won't necessarily push through, and I'm doing inverted commas here, of triple extension, but they won't really want to push through the entire range of motion that's available to them in the rest of the kinetic chain. So that's one thing to look at, is are they stepping wide at the start, and are they also externally rotating to take pressure off the Achilles? That's a very quick, easy sign to do and to look for. As well, of course, pain. And I know, of course, you'll come to that. But I was looking from a visual point of view. Another element of that, of course, when we get up to top speed, is again the foot, the Achilles itself won't want to load at all. So what you tend to see is that when they're coming to foot contact, to ground contact, the heel will collapse very, very quickly. Now, we all know that the Achilles acts as a bit of a spring, and that's what we want it to do. So when we go into normal ground contact, we actually want it to hold and resist a little bit longer than what you'd want, just to kind of give it a bit more spring action. But when the Achilles is sore, it will just collapse. They won't want to put pressure on that. They won't put any weight on it. So just put the heel down, probably bend the knee a little bit, sink into the step slightly just to produce a bit more force. And again, because they won't want to go into plantar flexion, they won't go for a full stride cycle and will lift the foot up early. So you end up getting a little bit choppy stride, no real reach out and no real extension in any plane realistically. So those are some very, very simple things that a coach will look for their athletes with Achilles problems, or if they have a few biomechanical issues that result from that. Very, very simple, very, very easy. Acceleration, are they externally rotating? Are they pushing wide of midline? It could be a key factor of Achilles issues, or of course, strength in the calf complex as well. And at top speed, are they collapsing the heel too soon or too quick? And are they deforming slightly at the hips and the knee? And then are they cutting their stride short? They're the key factors that you can see on anyone who's got Achilles problems.
Yeah, totally agree there, Stu.
Very, very short and synced.
You know what's interesting? When I was working with Jonas, Dodu and Marvin, being a performance therapist, sitting trackside, watching people, what's quite interesting is I was able to spot if someone's Achilles was sore before they even got on the track to warm up.
Same thing with walking, right? If when someone's walking, they'll do very, very similar patterns, what we just said there, with a slight external rotation, won't necessarily do anything going up onto their toes because it just hurts.
Yeah, and you'll see that choppy stride. You might even see a slight limp in that. You'll see them, say if it's the pain's on the right, you'll just see that their head, instead of it going from left foot to right foot as it moves, as they're walking, you'll see it will just stay over their left foot to try and keep the pressure off that right foot.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, it's a real tell sign that there's something wrong right at the bottom of that chain. And usually, 80% of the time, I was right in guessing it was the Achilles. The other thing was, a lot of athletes, especially when it's a tendon issue and it hurts when they're training, what they tend to do is, I don't know if you've noticed it, Stu, they'll turn up early to stretch, to make sure everything's warm. So by the time they start doing the warm-up, it's not as sore.
Yeah, that's one of the things, isn't it? Depending on what kind of ailment they've got to the Achilles or whatever, a longer warm-up can be sometimes beneficial. It can be sometimes beneficial. And that's due generally because of a prolonged warming of the air, because obviously the tendon has very, very little blood flow. But also your tendon, you're kind of slowly increasing the load that's going into it. So it can kind of adapt a bit more fully as you lead into the session.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And for me, when I was trackside, I noticed, the athlete would turn up a little bit earlier, and the first thing they'd start doing is they'd get a hockey ball and they'd be rolling their calf out, or they'd be plantar dorsiflexing while it's sticking into it, or they'd be foam rolling, or they'll be stretching, or they'll jog early. Like, they'll get there, they'll do a couple of lengths first, they'll wait, and then they'll do another couple of lengths. And it was just a telltale sign. And I used to get there half an hour early because I was always aware of this with athletes, from being an athlete myself. And I just started to notice that they were doing these weird things, and just questioning them why they're doing it. Some might just say, I just want more mobility, I just think get here early, make sure I'm nice and mobile to reduce injury risk. Some of them will say, well, my tendon hurt, my Achilles hurts, my knee tendon hurts, and you go, right, okay, jump on the bed, let me have a look and see what I can spot and see what I can find.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Because when you think about it in regards to a lot of coaches, a lot of therapists will probably just look at them, from a therapy side. We're going to go into that whole performance therapy kind of remit, aren't we, a little bit. But you could be a therapist on your track side or wherever, and you're waiting for the athlete to come look, say something to you. Oh, I'm hurting. Okay, that's nice, but that's reactionary, right? And same as a coach. A lot of coaches might not be, don't care about how they're walking to the session, or even pay that much attention to warm up, for instance. And again, if something happens, it's reactionary. But if we take a little bit of look. I'm going to probably quote Altus on this one, but kind of a living movement screen, which is basically how they're moving. You know, when they're walking from their car all the way to the training session, or just generally chatting, how they stand in, is the compensation patterns already happening? You know, again, yeah. When you've got an Achilles problem, even just standing can sometimes can hurt, right? You put it, yeah. you shift your weight to one side rather than the other. It's important to kind of, and then there's also another way of that is when we talk about the living movement screen, is what's your normal pattern? You know, just because someone's got a bit of a limp, they might walk with a limp. There's a style. I mean, you know, whatever style requires a limp isn't a style that I want to care about. There's other elements in regards to, you know, they might walk with a limp because they've got some other issue. They might have hips that are a different way, or, you know, there could be some other issue that's causing that. So don't just think it's this. But how do they normally move? You know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
And also, you know, when it's out of passion, it can be a way of identifying that actually something's quite off today. What do we need to look at?
Yeah. Which is quite funny because, I remember watching an interview of Asafa Powell and Usain Bolt back in 2008. And they, both of their coaches, they said, this is one thing our coaches definitely agree on. When we step on the track, they want us walking like, as if we're on a catwalk. Like they want perfect posture. They want perfect movement. Like when they're walking in between their drills, they want them walking properly. They want their body moving well. They don't want to see any of this limp. They don't want to see any of this dancing around and messing around. They're like, no, guys, I need you to switch on here and get this body ready for what I want it to do.
Yeah, that's an element of you are what you practice, right? So if you want to run with an upright posture, you need to practice it. And again, yeah, you know that thing. And plus, when people dance around between reps, you never know what's going to happen. Something's going to pop or cramp up or something like that. We've done it ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
But we digressed there. We went into a little bit then about living movement screen. So either a coach or a therapist should pay a bit more attention prior to the session about how their athletes are actually moving. But so that's a little bit from a coach's perspective. Look at your athlete. Look a bit at mechanics. A, is it normal? That's the first thing. B, are they doing these little compensatory patterns that can possibly ease their pain as they're doing things throughout the session? Now then, obviously, we had a little bit of discussion prior to this podcast. Where I mentioned probably two really bad words, and they start with tendon, and you told me off. So I'm going to let you discuss what that was. But basically, the two bad words I said were tendonitis and tendinosis.
Okay. So for some strange reason, I don't know why, 30, 40 years ago, people thought there was a thing called tendinosis and tendonitis, and they were two different things. And then they did lots and lots of research and then realized actually they're the exact same thing and they don't actually mean what is actually happening. So osis at the end of it means degeneration, you know, degeneration and inflammation. Mm-hmm. Itis at the end means inflammation. But there's a big problem here with a tendon. Tendons don't inflame, right? Because they have really, really, really tiny amounts of blood flow. Okay,
so and that's actually a crucial factor, isn't it? They have virtually no blood flow, very, very little.
Yeah. And what's really interesting, and we'll get into the anatomy a little in a second about it, is where that blood flow is for the tendon is the hot spot for all tendon injuries, and also the worst of all, tendon rupture. So they ended up with the term tendinopathy, which just means pathology of the tendon, which kind of encompasses all of this. Because what can happen is, and you'll know this, Stu, is people who have had a tendon injury previously are around about 70% more likely to get another tendon injury.
Oh, I know that from experience.
And a lot of people say, every time we start doing these sessions, or every year around May, or every time, you know, I get into the season, my tendon starts flaring up. Now, they're not lying. It is happening, but there's a reason for this. And what happens is when you get a tendon injury, what has to happen is your white blood cells have to go in, eat away a bit of the tendon, and then they have to build a blood supply to heal it. So they build capillaries into the tendon, and that dumps loads of collagen, heals the tendon. Great. You think, oh, I've done the job, I've rehabbed, I've done everything. But have you rehabbed? And this is the issue, is people get very afraid of pain during rehab, and I know I digress, but that pain is essential, because what you're actually doing is you're ripping the blood vessels that are in that tendon, and you need to get rid of those blood vessels, or what you are going to get is localized inflammation of those capillaries, which then cause pain because there's also nerves there. So they're sending off this signal that we've got inflammation in this tendon. Your brain perceives inflammation as pain. So then your brain just tells you, you've got pain. And what happens is your brain remembers the last time it hurt. And it will remember that the session you were doing was 20 meter flies or fast 150s. It will go back to that memory and go, oh, we had that inflammation response back then. So we're going to get injured. We're going to rupture. We're going to tear. So yeah, cause pain. So then it just tells your brain, your whole body, you're in pain, stop, don't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, isn't it? We try and do things to heal, and we'll try and increase capillarization. But of course, where there's blood flow, there's also nerves. Yeah. So we try and increase these capillaries to help healing, which is what we kind of want initially, or for whatever reason. But we then forget about, actually, we want to now get rid of them because, yeah, there's now nerves that are in there. And the second you start doing anything, those nerves are going to go ping, 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 ping. And yeah, your brain's going to go, ow.
Exactly. And I don't want to dive into pain science because it is a complicated thing. And, you know, I went to uni for 4 years to learn about it. So it's complicated.
Yeah,
so
we don't need to worry about pain science. Okay. Don't worry about that. Just a little bit about the Achilles.
Okay. So, like I said, most of the blood supply, it's all the blood supply to the tendon, is in one very specific area. So if you go from the heel to the belly of the gastroc, yeah, on the inside of your leg, okay?
Yep.
Let's call that the length of your tendon. Bang, slap bang in the middle, right there, is your center of vascularization for the tendon. And even if you just gently push on it now, you will feel sharp pain. Go half an inch above and push in, you'll feel nothing. Go half an inch below, you won't feel anything. Right there, you will cause localized pain. That is just the only place where it's 98% of the vascular elements of the tendon is in that site. So that's where, when most people say their tendon hurts, most of the time, the actual cause is actually from that area. They might feel it down by the by their bony heel, but actually the pain's higher up. But that's where they're sensing it from down by the bone, but actually the issue's higher up, where the blood supply is causing the pain. And what that does is it stretches that bit of tendon there on the inside, which then has to be pulling on something, which is the bone down below. What a lot of people do is they start massaging the tendon down below. You're going to do nothing massaging that tendon. They start treating the heel. They start icing the heel. That ain't going to do anything. You need to go back up to the center. And trust me, when you push on, say you've hurt the left side, you push on that center, that person will kick you in the face. Push on the right side, they'll feel a little bit of pain. That's the issue. That's your center of problems are right there. Okay.
And so when someone has that kind of radiating pain, which is almost just slightly above the heel, you're saying actually, realistically, most treatment should be, what, about 4 inches above that?
Yeah, realistically, yeah. Give obviously, depend on limb length, but yeah.
But we're talking, yeah, above. So basically, midway between the bottom of the gastroc to, which is the calf muscle, to the heel, is roughly where the blood flow kind of starts hitting, and the tendon kind of takes over more so than muscle.
And one injury, and this is actually my protocol with Achilles injuries is, and it's with a lot of things, the tendon, when it flares up, there's something above the tendon that it sits in that is going to be irritated first. And a lot of people mistake it for tendinopathy because you don't get taught at uni about it in the Achilles tendon or anywhere else except one part of the body. Now, this is called tenosynovitis, which just basically means tendon sheath inflammation.
Okay. Right?
So around every tendon is a sheath, which reduces friction against every other part of the body where the tendon has to slide. Okay. So think in an old house, when you turn on a hot tap and the pipes have to go past a bit of wood board and it starts going,
I'll take your word for it.
Okay, well, that happened. But basically, if you put a little bit of rubber underneath that pipe and turn it back on, it will slide. It's as simple as that. So what's happening there is when we start with the first signs of an Achilles issue, that tendon sheath is irritated. So the first, what I go to, and believe it or not, I can't say his name, Premiership rugby player, been having rehab from a very, very, very good medical team for over a year and still having Achilles issues. He came, did some work with us, and the first day I felt him and I was like, and did all these tests, and I was like, okay, it's not a tendinopathy. He was like, what? I was like, you can load it, you can do all of this. And all I did, and I literally got an instrument-assisted massage tool, a rock blade, a scraper, whatever you want to call it, put the tiniest bit of cream on his Achilles, and very, very gently, I let the weight of the tool do the work, and I moved it very fast, back and forth, up and down the inside of his Achilles where the pain was. He got off the table, he ran straight away, zero pain. He couldn't believe it. He still said to me to this day, he hasn't had pain in his Achilles for over a year. And I did, I'm not joking, 45 seconds of treatment.
So what was you doing with that? What was the IATSM doing?
So all it was doing is the sheath has got stuck. Okay, so the tendon can't slide. Now, all I'm doing is, so you've got the skin, subcutaneous layer, tendon sheath, tendon. Yeah?
Yep.
All the shearing, the sliding of the blade. So if you put your hand out and you put a pen on top of the back of your hand and move it very, very fast in about half an inch distance and then move up and down your finger, that there is basically what the tool was doing.
Yep.
Okay. And what the tool, the pressure of the tool is doing is it's forcing the skin to start gliding above the subcutaneous layer that has become sticky. Then the sudden movement of the skin forces the subcutaneous layer to start moving, then the tendon sheath to locally move where the tool is, instead of having to do a gross movement to allow that tendon to move. So all you've done is you're not pushing down, you're not breaking adhesions. That's all crap. What you are doing is you're separating the skin from the subcutaneous layer, the subcutaneous layer from the tendon sheath from the tendon, which allows more space for slide and glide. And that's all. And then the tendon was just able to freely move. And then any kind of inflammation, any kind of irritation, any kind of debris in between those layers were then able to be flushed out by the blood, by him running. Really, really simple. And that, for me, anytime I have someone who's, like I said, sitting there massaging the calf, I get them straight on the table and I do that straight away. Get them back on and they're like, oh my God, what did you just do to me? That's amazing.
So most of the times, then I guess it is going to be some kind of sheath irritant that's causing that localized pain, and it is tend to be a little bit of movement. So I guess in to some degree, what they're doing with these massage balls, they're doing myofascial release, or what they, you know, if you do it correctly, isn't necessarily that wrong per se, because you are trying to restrict a part of the fascial system, and then in theory, what you should do is obviously put a muscle on that, on the ball or whatever, and then, you know, dorsiflex, plantar flex your foot, so you're moving the muscle underneath it and causing that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's very, very similar to the set that way, isn't it? But what you see is a lot of people who will just get on a ball and just roll around on it rather than actually move their limbs whilst in a static point. And that's what, I guess that's the same kind of thing, right?
The other thing that is really good for what I just talked about is voodoo strap. You know, it's like a really thick physio band.
Yep.
Wrap it round really tight, dorsiflex, plantar flex the ankle up and down, you know, 10 times, take it off. Amazing. Honestly, it really, really good for that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I don't know how many times we've discussed kind of that kind of, I don't want to call it prehab, but I guess it is prehab to the squad with regards to just use a voodoo strap, put it on bits of the muscle, walk.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just restrict an area, whether it's the ankle, the knee, the calf, whatever it is, part of the body, restrict it. Walk the bit that's actually wanting what we're having, because of that compression, we're forcing, you know, the bits underneath it to actually open up slightly, move through that sheath, move through that fascia, and release the tension a little bit from that. And that's a crucial thing. So what you're doing with the blade is exactly that, but just very, very specifically localized, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, right, so that's very early on, but let's say you've missed the cues that before their training, you've missed their drills and you haven't noticed them externally rotating their legs. You've missed all the acceleration stuff. You missed all the uprighting stuff. And damn, you're 6 weeks down. They're about to race. And all of a sudden, they're like, coach, I can't train. My Achilles is really, really sore. Right. And then they come to me. Yeah. Which I've seen a lot in my clinic. Now you have to do things differently.
So now we're no longer acute. We're now getting quite chronic, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now that kind of treatment changes, because what you got to understand, and I'm going to try and make this as basic as possible. And I didn't get taught this at uni. I had to find a book about it because I just didn't get how an Achilles can get injured in that sort of way and how it loads and explodes. Anyway, basically, let's split your Achilles tendon into three.
Oh, okay? I'd rather you didn't. Oh, God.
So you have your medial gastric tendon, you have your lateral gastric tendon, and your soleus tendon. Okay, they're your three tendons. Now, they all blended slightly into one, but they are three separate things, and I'll explain how that works.
Okay.
If you're looking from the heel up to the knee, so you're completely underneath the foot and you're looking up, okay? Yeah, you with me?
Yep.
Okay. So your medial head of gastric tendon, so we're looking at the right foot, okay? That tendon, is fibers aren't in a straight line from the heel up to the knee. They're actually in a spiral. Okay.
Yeah.
So on the right foot, they are going anti-clockwise. So they're spiraling left. Yeah.
Yep.
The lateral is actually spiraling clockwise. So it's going spiraling right upwards. Okay. Until it meets the belly. The soleus, however, is straight. Okay. Now, on the left, it's the opposite. So the medial is going clockwise and the lateral is going anti-clockwise. Yep. Really simple, right?
Yep.
So the way what you see is a lot of people, when they start getting these chronic injuries, is that, like you said, they externally rotate a lot of the time. When they externally rotate is when it's actually, you'll see it more, they'll noticeably do it when it's the medial side, the lateral side of the Achilles that originally got sore. Because they're avoiding that loading on that lateral side. Okay. So the medial takes over. Okay. The medial gastroc tendon takes over.
That'll have more stretch.
More stretch. Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens is it can cope with that. But because it's a spiral, the issue is when the spiral is on the middle of the tendon instead of on the outside, which just so happens to be at the vascular part of the tendon, that starts bowing. And starts getting stressed out. So then what happens is starts putting collagen down, starts putting blood down, and then you get this real big issue in this spiral. And all of a sudden, the new fibers being put down don't follow the spiral. They go in a straight line because they're having to deal with a new stress that is telling it to grow in a straight line, not grow in a spiral. So what happens a lot of the time is people come in, you start doing the basic stuff. You start massaging the calves. You start putting strength into the tibialis anterior. So it forces it into dorsi. You start loading the tendon, you know, and everyone would get them to do isometric first, then they'll go eccentric, then they'll go concentric, and they're just doing plantar flex, dorsiflex.
Yep.
Great. But then they still have pain, and you're like, yeah, but you've done all of this. You can get through this now. You can start running. Some really good therapists will, or coaches will adjust, make sure that that leg is now internally rotated when they're doing stuff. So the tendon health is better, but the problem against you is they've still got these tendons that are facing the wrong way. They're going straight and not spiral.
So how do you correct that?
Exactly. And this is the hard part. Okay. So let's go right to the start. We're loading first. Okay. So what you actually need to do is you're going to internally rotate the tibia. So you can do it from the hips, internally rotate the legs in in an isometric. Okay, what do you need to be trying to do? So if it's you've got pain on, we're going to focus on the medial tendon, so the inside of the Achilles. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to think that spiral is going anti-clockwise. Yeah.
Yep.
So what you're going to try and do, you're going to try, so you've internally rotated your leg, now you're going to try and internally rotate, so you're going to push in. And you're going to try and twist your foot outwards. So you're trying to take the heel from, which is in an outward position, to an inward position whilst you're pushing into the ground. Yeah?
Yep.
So what that then does, that starts building this tension and this twisting of the tendons. Now, the tendons that are straight will start to struggle and pain will go up. Okay? You want that because guess what that's doing? It's tearing. It's tearing the capillaries and the nerves in that area.
Yeah.
All right. What starts happening is you keep creating this torsion, this twisting motion.
So we're trying to almost tighten the screw.
Tighten the screw, exactly. Yeah. You're trying to twist. And what then starts happening? Say you start from a very outward position, and you have to get people to do this with a lot of weight, either if they're in a leg press, lots and lots of weight, or if they're standing up, you know, put them in a squat rack, like in a Smith machine, so it's nice and controlled, and put a lot of weight on it, because so the weight needs to be going through them and as they twist. Now, because it's tendon, once you go past an isometric after 10 seconds, you move into the muscle belly for an isometric, and you don't come back to the tendon until after 5 minutes. Weird stuff, right?
Yeah. I think I think I've heard that again from Keith Barr. Very, very similar thing. After about 6 to 10 seconds, the tendon becomes fatigued and therefore it's no longer really doing much with it.
Yeah, exactly. So what you want to do is, I call it a 9 second rep, because when you go to 10, everyone stops at 9 anyway. So just call it a 9 second rep.
Yeah.
It's all good. So what you're going to do is they're going to try and bring that heel in nice and slow whilst pushing into the ground over those 9 seconds until it gets to neutral, so in the midline. Yeah And then you're going to go rack it, turn the foot back out, go again, and you're going to do about 10 of these, you know.
And you're doing that as a concentric motion or eccentric,
that
or
is
just purely iso?
Purely iso. So you've gone up into a little bit of a plantar flex,
yeah,
tiny bit, like I'm talking your heels lifted up like an inch.
Just holding that position. Yeah
And you're twisting. Okay, so the tendon's under an isometric load, but what you're doing is you're twisting the leg. So all of a sudden, the tendon has to respond to what is happening above it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And it starts understanding this rotational force that it wants to create and needs to create. Okay? And if it's the lateral one, guess what? You start with the heel in and you twist out. Really, really simple. Okay? Believe it or not, that's where I start all my Achilles rehab. They start out, turn in over those 10 seconds, okay?
Yep.
Now, as we move on, I'll start getting them to do that as a very, very slow eccentric. Really, really simple. Really slow eccentric as they're doing it. And they're still doing that twisting motion, okay?
Yeah.
And then I'll move on to the concentric. Now, when I get to the concentric, so I do 10 reps, okay? The first rep has to take about 6 seconds. The last one has to take less than a second. So each rep slowly gets faster. Yeah. Because I need to build that speed element into the contraction, because we're dealing with a tendon that loads and explodes. And because of that, once I've done with the concentrics, they're not leaving me. I've got them doing plyometrics. Okay. And what I'll do before we do the plyometrics is, believe it or not, I just do two reps of the iso hold twisting. Make sure that tendon is ready to be loaded. And I just get them doing really simple pogos to start off with. Then I'll start getting them to do lateral hops, lateral pogos, forwards and backwards pogos.
Yeah.
That's just for the tendon. And then all the biomechanical stuff, I'm usually either doing it myself or I'm talking to the coaches saying, look, I need you to be on this. You know, and it's actually, you know, our duck walks that we talked about all the way back when we talked about shin splints.
Yep.
I get them to do that, but straight legged. Internally rotate from the hips and externally rotate from the hips. Really, really simple. Up on the toes, up on the heels. And I just get them to that. And what that tends to help with is internal, external rotation of that hip and the brain to be aware of where it is in space.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of the crucial things, obviously, when people get injured is they have a compensatory pattern that becomes chronic and it stays as part of their, what we said then about, is it their normal style? You have to be aware of what normal really is. Is it normal because they've had a chronic injury, or is it normal because that's their physical limitations because of, you know, skeletal issues, for instance, you know, the way that a joint particularly is. So you've got to be really, really careful. And again, when, let's say you have a standard injury And obviously everyone knows that, for instance, let's say you've done your Achilles or whatever, and you walk like, you know, as we said before, feet turned out or whatever to compensate. And the problem is your brain has remembered that pattern because you've now done it for however many steps, however many days, however long that you've had this issue, and it becomes a little bit normal, right? And your body becomes scared that when you start running again, it's going to do it. And you kind of keep the same pattern when you're running, even though there's no injury anymore.
Yep.
So you've done all that stuff that you've mentioned. You've gone through the whole therapy stuff. We've done, you know, we've done the twists, we've done the eccentrics, we've gone to the concentrics or whatever. We've got used to applying a little bit more plyometric nature to the Achilles because it does need that. That's the whole nature of what the Achilles is going to be doing. But then comes the fact of your body, your mind's got to break that barrier down. And I think, you know, doing plyometrics like where you're getting a fast load onto it does help. That is true.
Yeah.
And again, you have to kind of bring them back, regress them a little bit into a bit more drills, as it were, biomechanical review, and just make sure they're going through the pattern correctly. Rewire that the neuroplasticity part of it, because obviously you get scared, and you brain, do get those patterns. Yeah,
yeah. The brain wants to be in its safety position,
it thinks that's the safety position. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, and you have to challenge that, and that is some of the hardest stuff about coming back from injury, and hence what I'm a massive advocate, and I'm waiting for the research to come out and say it. It's just taking so long to get good enough research that proves this, is that early rehabilitation on any injury speeds up recovery process and stops that brain from creating this protective mechanism and keeping it a hold over you.
Oh, absolutely. The longer we wait to start the rehab element, I mean, if rehab should start from day one. You know, we go into that whole thing of we want to shut down and rest it and do all this stuff for a while. But the problem is we're not getting the right alignment of scar tissue. As you said, then, you know, the collagen structure isn't aligning correctly, causes longer issues once you start trying to get into rehab after 2-3 weeks. If someone just sets complete rest, trying to rest and recover, rehab's got to be day one, especially with the Achilles as well. You know, as I said before, there's no blood flow. You know, it's not really under inflammatory response. So the 2-3 days or whatever isn't necessarily always required, but there's little things you can do. And that's absolutely true.
And a big thing that I get a lot of coaches when I've had the athlete in the clinic and I don't see them when they're training and stuff, I say to them, like, say if it's their right Achilles and we've done all the rehab and they've done everything, and they say, no, they're massive, they're back to training, but they're just not as good as they were before, or they're a little bit apprehensive. I say, what are they doing with their left hand? What they're doing with their opposite hand? And they go, what do you mean? And then they say, oh, they're short. Oh, it's short, or it's swinging out a bit. Okay. You know what? There's a bit of prehab that was missing, and probably that predisposed this injury, is that foot and that hand aren't connected very well.
Yeah.
And you get that in place, and all of a sudden they're flying. They're back to normal because all of a sudden their brain is in balance, their body's in balance. All those inhibitions go away, and they're off. It's great. It's really simple.
Yeah. Sorry, I should probably have mentioned earlier, actually, when we discussed about the acceleration stuff and other bits, that, you know, exactly, you can always look at the feet, but look at the upper body as well. You know, there's a compensatory pattern that happens further up the kinetic chain. You know, the foot's turned out, going slightly off midline, but in order to compensate from that, for instance, let's say it's my right leg, my left arm actually now needs to compensate that extra torque that's happening. It's probably going to go a bit more of a wider swing in order to bring my body back to midline. And so on like that. So that little things you can see, and you just got to be aware of how the kinetic chain works from that way.
Exactly. I call that the cheetah's tail.
No, absolutely.
Cheetah run and try and change direction. It swings that tail out to compensate.
Mm.
And that's what you're doing with your arm, you know. So yeah, no, totally agree with you.
No. Okay. I love that, Aidan. Thank you very much. So basically what we're going to say before, as we end up the show here, is that there's more to it. With the Achilles. So obviously there's certain things you need to, identify what the issue is, get into rehab as soon as possible. But there are a few little things you can do there from the good old standard, you know, very basic isometrics, eccentrics. Actually, if we look at it a bit better, a little bit deeper, we'll notice that there's a twisting we can do of the tendon and musculature surrounding that will actually increase rehab and actually probably to some degree improve the future performance of the athlete, because they're going to have much healthier tendons.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Wow, brilliant. Well, as always, Aidan, thank you for your time. I'm going to call that there. I have no idea how long we've gone, but that's good enough for me, I'm afraid. We'll do is, of course, as always, we'll put the information of this show in the show notes. So head over to the sportsperformancetraining.com podcast. website, and with, you know, any feedback, please let us know. And of course, please keep subscribing and liking. Thank you very much. Okay, press stop there, Aiden.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sports Performance Training Podcast. If you like it, please give us a subscribe and share amongst your friends or anything like that. And of course, give us a positive review. We really appreciate that. And we will see you next time for another edition of the Sports Performance Training Podcast.